Hello, everyone, and good morning. Welcome to our Big Brother 19 live feed update for August 2nd. We're coming to you a little early today because I'm going to be headed to New York for the live show tomorrow night. So we're getting this in as early as we can. It's 9 a.m. here, but I've got a great guest for you, Puya. How you doing, Puya?
I'm good, Taryn. I gotta say, man, thanks for having me on all these weeks. It's lovely to, you know, be received with such open arms and not Heisman. So I truly appreciate it.
You're welcome. All right, let's get straight into this. There wasn't really a whole lot yesterday. Basically, all the drama is kind of over. You know, they were essentially warned, you know, don't do any more of this. And I think they've taken to that warning. So we start the day off, Paul talking to Elena, saying, you know, hey, Elena, yes, Jessica did actually throw you under the bus a bit. She implicated you in your machinations. So watch out for that, Jess. She's evil. Right, Puya?
Yeah, I mean, last week or early last week, the word of the day, the teachings of Paul was pivoting. Last night, yesterday, it was implication. And he banged the implication drum and Elena's, you know, following suit with it right now. So
I'm going wild. Yes. Yeah, I mean, you know, Elena still feels pretty loyal to Paul, still wants to go with Paul. So she's happy to accept the implication, but she still likes Jessica and she still talked to Jessica afterward and was like, don't worry about it. It's fine. We're still good. Elena's still trying to play both sides here and stay good with everyone, especially because I think she genuinely likes Jessica and she doesn't want to shun her or anything, but she just feels like she has to work with Paul.
Yeah, I think the case set with them right now is that they've genuinely formed this bond beyond the game, I would say. And I mean, the position they're put in right now, Elena has to play ball with Paul and everyone else in order to, for her sake, keep safe for the upcoming weeks. However, it's not really looking that way just because everyone is seeing her playing both sides and it's a little bit more transparent than she probably knows of.
Yes. All right. So keep on the lookout for the Elena and Mark stuff. It's they continue to be sketchy despite separating from each other. So we also have Paul and friends talking about the temptation competition next week, discussing strategies. Should we throw in a strong player and have them throw it so that we have somebody to compete against them in the veto? Should we have as many people as possible go in there so that they can't get any safety? Lots of different strategies being discussed. Puya, did you have a favorite?
I don't want to agree with Mark, but I think Mark saying everyone should be competing makes sense because it's just sheer statistics. You know, 2 out of 10, a lot harder to gain than 2 out of 4. They have a 50% shot. So I would say as many people as they shove in there would probably be the best idea because at the very least, they can either make sure they don't get it or that they can outperform them, hopefully, the sheer numbers.
Yeah. And you have to imagine, and some people have been saying this, like if Jessica or Cody do win HOH, then you have to imagine Paul is going to be trying to convince as many people as possible to not play in the temptation competition, right? So give him the best shot.
Absolutely. I feel like that would be his go-to move at that point to minimize the odds, better the odds for himself. And it's going to be interesting to see how he plays it. But I mean, at the end of the day, it very much seems like Paul has everybody hooked in everybody and he'll probably get the result he wants out of it.
Yeah. Whitney in the chat says, notice Paul never offered to be the one to throw the competition and go on the block, despite being probably the person who's won the most amount of competitions in the house. And they talk about strong pawn to beat them in the veto. It's not Paul.
It wasn't his decision though, Taryn. It was the collective house decision
for him. He just offered them advice and they took it. He's not in control of anything.
Not at all.
Yeah. All right, so they also talk a lot about who their target is going to be. They ultimately come to the agreement that, hey, you know what, if we vote this week, let's vote Jessica out. That's a sure thing. If the vote even happens, it's going to be Jessica, and next week we got to strike at Jessica because she's the more dangerous player. Not only is she pissing us off by using this this hex, but she's more capable socially. Cody, he's been out of this game for a long time now. He's obviously good at competitions, but he's like, his head is in the clouds. It's all focused on Jessica. I think they're underestimating Cody's ability to do damage in this game. But it does seem like they're focused on Jessica for now. But yeah.
Yeah, man, I do think I agree with you. I think they are underestimating Cody. And I think this is where the reassimilation, like, damned Jessica, because she did really left. Cody left. But then once he came back in, she went back to him. And with all the events that transpired this week, the amount of salt in the wounds of everybody when she uses this hex, it's at this point they just want to get her out to spite her using that hex, because she didn't listen to Paul, or I mean, sorry, the collective thought, and did not go through with not using the hex.
It really does feel that. It really does feel a lot more like a spite vote than a sound strategic vote. I do get what some of them are saying, in the sense that Jessica is a lot like, Jessica has a bond with Elena. Like, they can work together. Elena's not going to work with Cody. Mark is probably going to work with either one, so it doesn't really matter which one goes and which one stays. The only thing is, you know, Jessica has this vendetta with Alex, which has always worked in Paul's favor, and he'd be losing that. And, you know, you could theoretically see Cody decide, you know what? I was right all along. Alex is a great competitor. We should be working together. You never, without Jess's influence there, he could just go right back to it. And Jess can be like watching on from the jury house being like, no!
In rage as these clips keep coming by and watching Cody get closer and closer to Alex. You're right, man. I mean, it's just at that point now where this spite vote, while there are benefits to some people, there are disadvantages to a few people out there as well. And I feel like right now, based on the theme of the week and the way Alex has been talking about Jessica and the way Raven's been talking about Jessica, like the slander that's going through there, they're just really trying to set her up to the point of no return, where they've brought her down so much with the words they've used, so that next week, whoever wins it pretty much, well, not whoever, but a big amount of the house guests who might win it will still be targeting her no matter what happens.
Yes. So Jessica in a lot of trouble here. I think using the hex was the right move, but the way she's gone about it has just been like teasing them every step of the way. Like, I might use it. Oh, no, not going to use it. And I'm going to rub it in your face that I'm not going to use it. People, I'm sure, are very happy about this, but it's not the best move for staying in the game much longer, which she's fine with, actually. Little do they know, this spite move against Jessica is exactly what she wants. She's like, I live down the block. She was thinking about walking anyway. She would rather leave before Cody at this point, but they don't know that.
Yeah, I mean, it's really hilarious, because I think she had, I mean, we've talked about this the last couple podcasts I've listened to and the one I was on last week, where she had all the tools in her arsenal. She had all the cards, and she just misplayed. She misplayed the information she had. She held them too close to the chest, to the point where people wanted to call her bluff. And then at that point, your back's against the wall. You're both on the block. She misplayed that. But I feel like this past week, she's definitely edged over to being very content with leaving. And I feel like it's one of those things where once you feel like you're down and out, it's very, very easy to accept defeat, especially when defeat means you don't have to deal with people berating you all the live long day.
Yeah, and it seems as though one of the reasons why she's not walking yet is because she does kind of expect that she will be evicted soon. Like, what she was saying was like, I'd rather stick it out until I get evicted, which will probably be soon. But, you know, people, they rally. And I think that if she gets some more taste of power, then she might be like, wait a minute, no, I don't want to leave. I don't want to be evicted. I want to keep going. So yeah,
that's all it takes, man. One win can just turn the mentality right back around for them. Honestly,
yeah, very much so. Yeah, they get that taste of power.
Yeah, just getting that taste of putting two people that aren't with them on the block and watching them squirm and fight against each other will be enough for them to want to taste victory again and go for the gold.
Yeah, especially if she actually does manage to get Paul out, because that really does open the game up. And absolutely, now all of a sudden you've got Elena and you've got Mark and there's less people in the house. So four is a pretty decent number with some good competitors on your side and Twist still helping you out. So it's pretty good spot to be in. All right. So Christmas had a talk with Paul about Mark and Elena. She feels like Elena was, she's felt this way up to this point. She still feels this way, that Elena had been giving Jessica some answers to the when they were studying, that Elena was helping Jess out. And she feels like Elena is playing both sides. And she feels like Mark is playing both sides. He can't be trusted. Christmas really trying to make sure the target stays on Mark and Elena. Paul's fine with that. He's kind of vouching for Elena, but he's fine with throwing Mark under there. But Jess seems to be leading the charge with within that group of like setting other people up as targets right now. She's very much like under Paul's tutelage, you know, trying to set up different targets.
Yeah, I mean, this is where so-called knowledge that Paul's been dropping on them and the guidance he's been giving them from week one is kind of coming into play. Where, like, you see some people starting to put pieces together, starting to, like, try and set themselves up for the long haul. And Mark and Elena, I mean, she's not wrong. They are definitely in the middle. They're definitely going to go wherever the power goes next week, whether it's Cody, Jessica. I mean, Elena, maybe not so much. I feel like Elena's want to keep Paul close, or she should if she wants to have longevity in this game. But Mark definitely has made it very clear talking to Cody and Jessica that he is with them. And if he wins, he is actively not going to be putting them on the block.
Yes. And Christmas also talked about Matt. They were like, man, Matt, we really want to see Matt actually play the game. But then Christmas was like, wait, you know, I feel like once Matt starts playing the game, he's going to be really good, which is interesting to hear her say that, because that's kind of what we've been saying. Like, he might be good once he actually starts playing. And it's interesting to see that she has also caught on to that and also is a little bit wary of the fact that, like, you know what? He's a very social guy, but he's just been doing nothing. But once he starts doing something, should we be worried? And you probably should be, especially somebody like Christmas, who just got into a fight with him the other day.
Yeah, and this is the problem with laying low in the beginning. Eventually someone or two people are going to be like, well, why are they doing nothing? And then they'll start thinking, okay, maybe they're going to wake up later and start playing hard. And with someone like Matt, you see the guy built, looks like he could be doing well. Like, he's one of the ones where you're a lot less likely to believe they're throwing things or they're bad at performing things. I mean, he's done a good job at selling it right now, but all it takes for Matt would be maybe a competition win or a very strong outing, and he's on everyone's radar. And that's the problem with playing low-key the way he is. And that's the problem with staying away from all the conflict when the conflict is exploding all over the place. You seem too level-headed and too calm in a room full of crazy people. And you immediately become the target because you are the outcast amongst crazies.
Yeah, can I just say, like, I saw somebody, I think it might have been on Reddit, say that, like, I have this theory about Matt. Did he get like cosmetic surgery to get those muscles put on? Because he never works out. He's always eating cereal and he's not good in the competitions. And like, I think it's a, like, obviously it's like a crazy conspiracy theory, but I can't get it out of my head now that like his muscles are fake. Or I don't even know if that's possible, but it's every time I see him now, it's just like, your fake muscles. But no, they're not actually. I can't get it out of my head. Thanks a lot, Reddit. But yeah, so Mark had a conversation with, Rob says to me in the chat, says it's not crazy, Taryn. Uh-oh.
Verified.
Is this a real thing? Do people get cosmetic surgery for muscles? I've never heard of this before.
I don't know about muscle implants. I know you can get calf implants thanks to Entourage, but that's
yes,
about it.
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah. But not like big biceps, right? I don't know.
I
need to work on that. all right. So next we had Mark talking with Cody. He's fully on board. He says there's no way he's going after Cody or Jess if he wins that HOH. That doesn't mean he's going to go after Paul. But he is firmly committed to sticking with Cody this time. He feels like he's learned his lesson about turning on his allies because that's what the house wants. He's tired of doing what the house wants. He's going to stick with Cody and Jess. And this is kind of something that we already knew, but Mark really confirms it here. And I think he's going to stick with this until Cody and or Jess leave the game. What do you think, Puya?
I absolutely agree with you. I think there's no way he's going to do it. I think the reason he would maybe not be going after Paul might be because of how close Paul and Elena are. And as much as he wants to complain and say, I can't believe she dogged me, she didn't want a relationship, but she's cuddling up with him, whatever the case may be, I think that he still deep down wants to be on in Elena's good books, and putting Paul up would not be a good idea for him. But no matter what that situation is, we all know that Jessica and Cody are not going to be going up by Mark, because Mark is, you know, nice guy Mark, big guy Mark, nice guy Mark.
Yes, Rob in the chat posted a link to some cosmetic pectoral implant photos. So check that out if you're listening. Go to the Rob as a Podcast Facebook page. Go into the comments. Find the link that Rob posted. People are dying. So yeah, about Mark. yes, I he really does. He wants to stick with them. I agree that like he's been very upset about Elena essentially turning her back on him. He's been sulking. He's the incredible sulk, and he's been very upset about that. And so I do think that he is starting to be like annoyed at the fact that she did that. But here's the thing about Mark. I think the second Elena gives him attention, he's going to be right back in her arms. If she needs him to do something and she wants him to do something, then I think she can probably get him to do it. I don't know if that means that she could get him to turn on Cody and Jess. I don't know if she would want him to turn on Cody and Jess, but we'll see. I think she has more control over him than anyone else, including himself at the moment.
I think so. And I think if Elena is truly the person I think she is, I think if there's a situation where Mark does win, she'll probably still keep it at the same level she is. She will not try and like manhandle his HOH and get the results she wants. She's going to know she's in the good books. If he wants to keep Cody and Jess, why not? It helps her cause. And at the same time, all the bullets are going to Mark and not her if she keeps the facade up that they're distant.
Yes. All right. So we also had Paul talking about, you know, what happens if Jess or Cody wins HOH? They're probably going to put me up. Who are they going to put me up with? He thinks probably Raven, and he's kind of planning on that. He's thinking, all right, if I get put up against Raven, who are my votes? He's already counting. He's already preparing to take Raven out. And this is, again, something that we talked about over the course of the last few updates and on the roundtable, where I think if Paul goes up against Raven, he's probably safe. I think Raven actually goes home there, and he's already preparing for that outcome. Raven obviously is not. But he could find himself up on the block against Alex, because we know that that is certainly a possibility, and that would be pretty bad for his game because he's not preparing for that. And I don't think he realizes that Kevin and Kevin in particular would probably choose Alex over Paul. But that's not a given necessarily. I think he will. Do you think he will?
I did think he would. A conversation he had with Jason yesterday where he said his final five, or he read off a final five, and it was him, Jason, Paul, Christmas, and Josh. And I was like, well, where's Alex in that equation? But at the same time, he's been getting closer and closer. His bond with Jason, I think, is the most underrated connection in this house right now. And I think if this bond is going to come into fruition, then that's when Jason needs to step up, or will step up and keep Alex over Paul, or will talk him into that. So it'll be very interesting. I think if it's Alex, we're in for a very interesting ride to see if the votes are there. If it's Raven, I genuinely do see Paul being safe and Raven taking the boot.
I just saw this comment in the chat from Charlie. The greatest trick the devil ever pulled was convincing people he wasn't Paul.
yeah.
Yes. Yeah. And Charles in the chat also points out Alex still thinks Kevin is sketchy. That's very true. Kevin, that's a bit of a blind spot for Kevin. I'm still worried about that. But I think you're totally right. I think the relationship he has with Jason is the strongest connection he has. And I think he will stick with Jason no matter what. And I also think that's something that people are underrating Jason on. He has really great bonds. He's got Kevin like really strong. He's got Alex really strong. If Alex had to choose between Paul and Jason, I'm not entirely sure who she would choose. She's told Jason some things that Paul told her not to tell him. So, you know, Jason is in a really good spot. Nobody sees it. Nobody in that house sees how good Jason has it right now. So watch out. And he even has a decent working relationship with people like Mark. And even Cody respects him to some degree. So man, I really like what Jason's doing. I also like what Kevin's doing. I don't like the blind spot with Alex, but I do think Kevin ultimately sticks with Jason, who sticks with Alex. So watch out for that, Paul. That's Paul's blind spot, man. The Kevin Jason stuff. Man. That's Paul is just really blind to that.
Yeah.
All right. Moving on, we've got Mark and Josh. We talked about how they were sort of clearing the air between the two of them. They've seemed to have buried that hatchet even further yesterday. Like apologizing, Josh is saying, "I'm not gonna terrorize you anymore. I'm not gonna isolate you anymore. I'm not gonna do any of these things. I have respect for you. I have more respect for you now. I still think that what you did to Dominique was messed up, but." Like we're good for now. And this is like Mark has tried to apologize to Josh many times, but apparently what you need to do with Josh is like get him to hate somebody else more and then just like wait until he decides to forgive you.
make someone else get higher up on the power rankings of hate, definitely. And this week really brought that in. I think it's a very interesting relationship with those two. I feel like I would be in stitches if 2-3 weeks down the line, these two are a pair and actively working together. I would love to see that come into play. It would just be weird to watch. The segments would be ridiculous. And there's just two big guys, emotional guys. It's funny. I like them both. Not so much Mark, actually. I take that back immediately after that statement. What am I saying? Anyways, not feeling Mark. Love Josh-ish. Let's move on.
Yeah. I could see a thing happen where, like, you know, Jessica and Cody take out Paul next week by a miracle, unintentionally put him up against Alex, which is unintentionally the best move. And Paul goes home, and then Christmas goes home, and then Josh doesn't really have a close ally anymore. And then he goes to Mark and he goes like, let's be the Renegades. Let's hook up and pretend that we don't like each other. And then nobody will see it coming. I mean, Josh already wears the red bandana. He yells in the diary room. He totally wants to be Dan Gieseling. So let's make it happen, Josh and Mark.
I mean, if the bandana fits, then we're good. Yeah.
And going back to Jason, Charles also points out, even Christmas seems to like Jason. And that's really true. Like, Jason kind of hates Christmas, and Christmas likes Jason. So again, that's very telling. The thing with Jason and Christmas, I feel like Jason feels very guilty. And he said this, but like, looking every time he looks at her, it's just like he feels bad. He just wants her out of the house. Like, stop making me feel bad for what I did to you.
He's not able to escape.
Go ahead.
Oh, no, that was it. Yeah.
Okay. So, Rob in the chat says about Josh and Dan Gieseling, more like Pan Gieseling. Yeah. Rob with the great pun game in the chat today.
Oh, he's on fire. He's on fire.
Yeah. All right. So, Puya, was there anything else that we need to talk about today before we wrap this up?
Not really. I mean, Matt, Raven, and Christmas talked about the Hex a bunch. Christmas believes that there's some kind of curse to come with this Hex that they're not being told, that they're in the dark about, which, come on, Christmas, like, all the cards are on the table. And like Matt, they, for a while there, it looked like they wanted Matt, or Matt himself wanted to kind of talk to Jessica and Cody. And then he was like, I'm going to see how the day goes. Ultimately, nothing comes of that. And then Josh, a funny thing was, Josh goes up to Paul and goes, I want to talk to Cody. And Paul's like, no, like, stop. Don't humor them. Leave them alone. Let them stew. Like, there's nothing good that can come of this. And Elena was there too. And Josh was basically saying, I just want to sit down and say, what do you have against me? And in my head, I'm like, I'm pretty sure we've seen this go down week two. I'm pretty sure you went up to him and said this and nothing came of it. But they ended up talking him down. And I think that's the funniest thing for me is Paul's got a lot of pull. And I think this week we've kind of seen him use his pull a little bit for evil, not so much for the good of his own game. Just a little bit malicious. We've seen the stuff go down over the weekend and like the past couple days. And it's gotten to a point now where someone like Alex is just in such hatred for Jessica. Yesterday, no one said anything to provoke anybody. And Alex is just spewing out the mouth, saying anything she can. And I think it's just, for me, it's going to get very interesting moving forward now. This next HOH has a lot of implications. Social implications, strategic implications, and I'm just excited to be here, man. I'm enjoying the season. That's all.
Awesome. Yeah. Yeah, you're right. Like, Paul is, I think, kind of started to realize that, you know, as much as the blow stuff up stuff occasionally works, like it works when it initially, like it worked with Dominique because it happened once and then he isolated her. And then it worked initially with Cody because it happened once and then they were like, all right, now it's, we've solidified it. It's when you continue to open up a dialogue, you're allowing people to talk with these people who are going to talk bad about you and plant seeds against you. The reason why you're supposed to isolate them is so that they aren't able to do that. And I think Paul is starting to realize, oh, and actually it doesn't serve anybody to like talk to them and let them like tell everyone how I'm running the game and exactly how I'm doing it. So yeah, he's starting to figure that out.
Yeah, exactly. And I feel like he's going to do everything he can to prevent them from winning HOH. And actually, one more thing before we leave, it's looking like people want to throw it to Josh if Jess and Cody happen to lose the HOH. So a Josh HOH would be insanity.
We've been promised this so many times.
Waiting.
It's like they're going to throw it to Josh. It's going to happen. Josh is going to win the HOH. It's going to be a crazy week. And then Josh is like first out of the competition like every single time. So
yeah,
I'm not getting my hopes up.
The meatball that was promised.
Yeah. And yeah. I think that was another, they keep talking about the hex. Like Paul is just like convinced, like it's a hex. A hex is always means that something bad has to happen with it too. Like not just realizing that like, it's just an alliteration. Like,
yeah. And they don't realize that the bad thing that came with the hex was the backlash they received from their fellow host guests.
Yeah. All right. That is our update for today. We will be back tomorrow. Hopefully. We'll be at we'll be at Podcast House in New York City. We will come to you live from Podcast House to give you an update on the live feeds. And tonight, I believe Mike Bloom will be filling in for Rob to talk with Ronnie and Melissa, I believe, about the Wednesday night episode. And tomorrow night, we will be live in New York City with Eric Stein and Johnny Mack. It's going to be awesome. Looking forward to it. And of course, we will be back Sunday night to recap everything that happens then after the West Coast airing. And of course, check out The Taran Show with Ian Terry. Getting some great feedback. I had an awesome conversation with Ian. Lots to talk about with Ian. It was an interesting conversation. Got some more on the way for you on The Taran Show. And I also just recorded the American Ninja Warrior podcast with Lita. Should be out today. So enjoy it all. Enjoy it all. All right. Thanks for everyone for joining us. We will see you next time.